that God has just been burning on the inside of me. All I can tell you is that this church will be different forever because I'm the pastor, and when the pastor gets different, the church gets different. And I mean that in a good way. Listen, nothing's perfect. No one's perfect. But I'll tell you, God has given us all the opportunity to grow spiritually. God has given us all the privilege to know Him intimately and personally. And I've been not this past Sunday. And how many of you enjoyed the anniversary celebration? Wasn't that a lot of fun? That was just so much fun. But the Sunday before that, I shared something here in the church. If you were not here, please get that tape. An experience that I've had with God recently that is, in my life, I have to tell you, it is, I've counted on the same level, by this I mean the same impact in my life, is when I gave my life to Christ and was filled with the Spirit. And it's just been so precious, the intimacy with God. And, you know, we all grow spiritually. And Michelle and I have purposed before God the day this church started that we would not pretend. I would not pretend that I was a person not in need of growth in my life. And we've endeavored to try to be honest with you all along. I've told you about struggles that we've even had, just normal things in your marriage. I believe when spiritual leaders pretend that they don't have to grow and develop in God, they do a great disservice to people. And we refuse to live a fraudulent life. But, you know, some of the most wonderful things about spiritual growth when you're in the position that God's called me is that what took me years for God to get over to me, God, I believe, will grace me to get over to you in weeks. In weeks. Oh, and if you can just get a glimpse of what I've seen. And I am praying for you fervently from my heart that what He showed me, that somehow by His grace, He will equip me to communicate it and minister to you. Because if you can grasp the simplicity of what I'm saying, He said, well, Pastor John, this what you're sharing doesn't seem to be any great revelation. Words are just words until your heart sees them. And I'm praying for you, the eyes of your heart, your understanding, to grasp what I'm talking about tonight. Because I'm telling you, it makes everything different. It has for me, and I know it will for you. And I'm praying for you that God will unfold these things to you in the same and greater measure as He has for me. The scripture, Psalms 90, verse 12, Moses was writing here, and he was actually lamenting about the premature death of God's people in the wilderness. But he made this statement in Psalms 90. He said, so teach us, Lord, to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. One translation says to apply our hearts to wisdom. And I shared with you a while back, probably 7-8 years ago now, I was having a conversation with my grandmother, who was in her late 80s at the time, mid to late 80s. And I'd spoken at her home church many times. And I just casually asked her the question, Grandma, how's everything at the church? And, you know, really not expecting a real answer. Kind of like, well, everything's good. And then I would say, tell everyone I said hello and, you know, move on to the next thing. Well, she started to tell me. And she started to rehearse, you know, some of the things going on that were negative in the church. And she was in the middle of it, and then she kind of stuttered a little bit. And she stopped. And she said, and not crying, but like where her voice broke a little. And she said, I'm too close to heaven to talk about this. And when she said that to me, something in my heart, I know God was trying to get something over to me, but it was fleeting. It came and it went. It's like a blind man seeing and then losing his sight again, and it went away. And for years, that's nagged my heart. It's been on, well, Lord, what was that that I seemed to grasp and see, but then it left me so quickly? Recently, a person I consider to be a spiritual father to me, Kenneth Hagin, passed away. And I went to his Bible school and had a tremendous impact in my life. And standing in front of his casket, looking at him, realizing his age, he was in his 87th year of life. And he was. As I looked at him, the Spirit of God began to just grab hold of my heart as he was looking at my age compared to his. And he began to deal with my heart to number my days. And I realized, as I stood there, it was like there were thousands of people, you know. But when God begins to deal with you, it's almost like you're on your own island. Y'all know what I mean by that? You're just alone with God, no matter who's around you. And I began to number my, and it hit me that if I lived to be his age, in about 43 years, I'd be in that box. In 43 years, I'll be in heaven. And it seemed like everything came into a focus. Not that everything was blurred, so to speak. But you know, the Bible says that the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. You get more light as you walk with God, not less. And you say, you see, but as God brings more light, you're certainly accountable to it. And that light came in it. If you've ever held binoculars that are out of focus, too far apart for your eyes, how you're trying to get your eyes to work, and finally you get them in there, and that two circles becomes one, and it's in focus and it's clear. That's what happened in those moments. It started to happen, and then over a little time after that, it's like everything came into focus. What's important became important. What's unimportant became virtually worthless in my makeup. The things that I thought were relatively insignificant and unimportant became so precious. The things that were weighty and burdensome disappeared. As I numbered my days, I went through the stats with you all, but they were, I had 43 years, about 15,600 days, 516 months, and 43 more winters, springs, summers, and falls. And God began to deal with my heart. And he's began to show me, and a few more scriptures I'll read to you just to reiterate. Psalms 39, he said, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end." Psalms 39, 4 and 5. "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my hands a mere hand's breadth. The span of my years is as if nothing before you. Every man's life is but a breath." Literally, your life in the scope of eternity, it's like a breath. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? You're but a mist or a puff of steam that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." That can be negative. That can make you kind of miserable. Unless you understand why you number your days. You number your days so that you can apply your heart. I pray for God to give me the help to communicate these things, because to me, I'm telling you, they're so sacred to me. These words are so sacred that I just want to do my best to communicate them to you. To number your days, to reckon that you literally are going to see Jesus in a few short years, is so overwhelming that what is unimportant literally becomes almost laughable. When you truly have a revelation, if you knew that in 15 minutes you were going to leave your body and see Christ, what would become important to you? That's the revelation I'm talking about. Now, my grandmother, what the Lord went back and showed me was this. He said, "Son, your deception was when she said she's too close to heaven to talk this way, you thought you weren't." And I thought, you know, Michelle, tell you, I used to ask her, "Grandma, what does it feel like?" I was trying to get this out of my heart and I didn't know how. "What's it feel like, Grandma, at your age to know you're going to close your eyes and be in heaven soon? I mean, you don't live forever." She was in her 90s. I'd ask her that. And I'd try to get it from her. Something in me longed to understand what that was in her. And I never got it. Well, I've got it now. And it's not a spiritual commitment. It's not a spiritual zeal. It's not this new, I'm going to pray 26 hours a day thing. But let me tell you, when I pray, it's so sweet. It's so real. The Lord put it to me in my heart this way. You see, I'm trying my best to be up to share my heart with you. It can be such a burden, life. It can feel so uphill. If you ever ask the question, why is it so hard? Why does every step feel like 20? Why does it seem that you have to move uphill to get anywhere in life, in relationships, in the pursuit of God, in the pursuit of doing the will of God? Am I the only one? You ever felt that? It's just, God, everything's uphill. It just feels that way sometimes. And rehearsing that with the Lord, and in the last couple years, just the building thing, and I don't talk about very little about it publicly. But just obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle just to get permission to turn dirt. Not to build the building, just to get permission to turn a shovel. And over and over. And before long, instead of seeing what God's asked you to do as the honor and privilege it is, it's a burden. Instead of dealing with it in a way that reflects His grace and His ability and His power and supply, you start to deal with it in the flesh. Now, that's a building situation, but that's life. It happens. It can happen in any part of your life. And what He showed me is that when that, the reason that was happening is because somehow you think it's forever. When it hit me that if I lived to be that age, in 43, 44 short years, I'll be looking Him in the face and talking to Him about it. And it hit me. And this is what He showed me. And this all went off on the inside of my heart. Doing what God asks you to do, whether it's in your marriage, raising your children, in relationships, friendships, church, tithing, giving, serving, whatever it is. How many of you know Paul called himself a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ? A love slave of Christ. A servant is somebody who doesn't set their own agenda. A servant is someone who's told to do a job and just does it. And what the Lord began to show me is He said, son, I've put you into a vineyard, if you will, a field, and I've given you a row. And I've asked you to steward that row in your life. Part of that row will include your family and your relationships and your relationship with me and the church I've called you to pioneer and pastor. And someday, and this is the part that just seems to overwhelm me, is it feels like it's tomorrow. It doesn't feel like 43 years. It feels like, because in the scope of eternity, it is like tomorrow. That I'm gonna close my eyes and I'm gonna be with Him soon. I don't mean I'm gonna die young. You understand that? I'm talking about a revelation and understanding that this life, teach me, Lord, the number of my days. As He said in Psalms 39, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me see how fleeting my life is. And He showed me attitudes that I'd held. Now, you understand, these aren't sins in secret. These are conversations with other ministers where we bring up things about or talk about other issues or other stuff in the body of Christ or other organizations or whatever. And I mean, just give your opinion like you're an expert. And at the time, I'm just giving my opinion. Just letting it go. And the Lord showed me, oh my God, the level of pride in giving an opinion about a row in the field that's not even your responsibility. So, there's a scripture that says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? And here's what He showed me. He said, son, I've asked you to just be a farmhand in that field. Stay to your row, do what I told you to do. You do anything with anybody else's row, you pray for them. For you to go into their row, you've entered into a form of pride that says you don't need to attend to your own. You got enough. You can go do theirs and yours. I didn't call you, and I won't judge you on their row. I'll judge you on your row. And see, and the thing, the revelation that's captured my heart is that that's not a bazillion years away. It's a puff of steam away. And a building program that used to overwhelm me. When I tell you, how many of you understand and know that faith works from what part of the makeup? The heart. When I tell you it is almost like the special kind of faith you find in the gift of the Spirit, special faith. When I tell you it is an utter, unbelievable honor that I count it, that the head of the church has asked me to steward this. And the ability to trust him for it is so abundant in my heart that I don't even think about it. When I tell you I don't think about it, I mean, no matter what comes up in the, I just, well, Lord, that's fine. I'm just working in the dirt you told me to work in. And I've realized, I shared with you the situation of how a very huge obstacle came up that I would have just strived over months ago. But now just an absolute peace. And watch God do something that we finally got the final, if you were here, I won't take the time, got the final word back from PennDOT. In less than 2 weeks, approved, taken care of, finished, and done. An insurmountable problem. All the consultants said, don't even bother asking them to deal with this. They won't. And they cited other examples of which they've dealt with. And so we didn't even approach them at first. We not only, when we approached them, they came back within 48 hours with verbal approval. And then came back and gave us, approval. They don't even have our documents yet. If you understood the process a little bit, you'd be thinking, wow. And I thought, God, how many things in my life have I beaten my head bloody against when all I've had to do is to live and apply my heart? When you live from the heart, and what I want to do tonight is I want to pray for people. I want to lay hands on you. See, the Bible talks about in Hebrews, there's one of the doctrines of the church. One of the six foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of the laying on of hands. The doctrine of the laying on of hands. And through the laying on of hands, you can see it throughout the Old and New Testament, divine impartations occur. You see, because I know the words that I'm speaking, unless God's Spirit does for you. Now, you might have a hard heart or a broken heart tonight. And I've learned this just a little bit, and I'm seeing more, and I just can't wait to find out more about this. But I'm seeing more and more that a hard heart and a heart broken have similar responses. They react similarly. And you say, well, Pastor John, you're telling me you were a pastor of our church and you had a hard heart? Yes. He said, well, that makes me nervous. It should make you nervous if somebody has one, gets it dealt with, and won't tell you. I'm telling you up front, what people think, I don't care. Because in 40-some years, I'm going to see Jesus. And he's going to ask me, did you honor me? Did you live in the integrity of your heart? Did you do everything you could do to help people to see the truth of how much I love them and how to walk with me? That's all that matters to me. I mean, that's it. So, well, I have a poor opinion of you. You're not my master. I tell you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I'm not going to, I have 40-some years, you won't be there. I won't be there when you see Jesus. He won't ask you about me or your opinion of me. Nor will he ask me my opinion of you. Learn to live to please an audience of one. It won't be many days. You'll see him face to face. And all he's going to ask you for is what he entrusted to you. That's it. A scripture I want to read to you. I want to pray for people tonight. And but just in the name of Jesus, through the laying on of hands, to see imparted to people the eyes of their heart to be open to these truths. And if you're hungry for it, God will meet you. Let me tell you this. It will change your marriage in a day. What was unimportant and so petty, the pettiness. You know, a person dying doesn't live in a petty world. You know, the Bible doesn't say you're dying. It says you're dead. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that right? I've been at the deathbeds of many people as a pastor. That's a great privilege and honor and a great sorrow at times. I've never been to the deathbed of a petty person. Not once. Never sat with somebody dying ever that they talked about the unimportant. ever. Not one time. And again, my deception was, I thought I'm not close to death like they are. Now I realize 40 some years is a length of time. But is it really? Is it really? How many of you are in your 50s or 60s that can remember back to being 18 or 19 like it was yesterday? Where did it go? I can remember back being 18 or 19. Where did it go? It's like it literally is like a puff of steam. It appears and then vanishes. But here's the awesome thing. It's not the futility of life that you find Solomon echoing throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, where he just laments about how worthless life is. That's what he does. But here's a guy that started out crying out for wisdom and ended up in despair. Had sex with thousands of women. Had wives and concubines and whatever. More money than you could even imagine to have. Kingdoms, servants. And here's what he said at the end. It's worthless. Started in wisdom, ended in worthless. I don't want to end in worthless. Now, I'm not talking about a futility of life. You understand that? I'm talking about your life counting. The only way it will count is if you stay in the vineyard, in your row, and do what he told you to do. And that's it. That's it. It's made me a better father, a better husband. When I say better, you understand I don't mean more committed. I mean, I see it now. And listen, I'm not telling you I've reached this pinnacle of that I've got. No, 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 no. I'm just starting on this journey. And I tell you every day when I get in the presence of God, I'm saying, what are you going to show me, Father? What do you want to show me this? Show me. I want to see it here. I want to go from faith to faith, to glory to glory right now. I want to do it now in this life because it's available. And it's so precious. It's so wonderful. And I want you to have it because it's God's will for every human being. And I don't want you to wait 9 years or 8 years. I don't want you to have to get a glimpse and then wait 8 years. I want you to get it now. And I'm persuaded if you'll hunger after it, God will honor you. And he'll show you. He really will. He's faithful. Real quick, I want to read a scripture to you, then we're going to pray for people. Several scriptures, and I'm just going to read them. This is in Matthew 13, verse 10 through 17. Matthew 13, 10 through 17 says this. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he that has, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables." Now listen, "though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You'll ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people, listen, their heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." A person with a calloused heart can't see. You can hear words, and it's like trickles of it come in. You say, "Well, Pastor John, you think your heart's not hardened at all right now?" You know what? I don't know. But I know this much. I know that whatever does exist that may produce hardening of the heart, I'm asking, I want to know. Whatever the attitude is, whatever the thought is, whatever the word, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. And I'm telling you, no, I'm not claiming perfection, and I'm not claiming some spiritual epiphany that makes me a greater Christian than I've ever been. I'm telling you that I've seen that my days on this earth are numbered. And what's important has become important to me. And truly what's important is what lasts. It doesn't take Einstein, when you can see. If you're not blind tonight, you can physically see what's in this room. You're not taking that any great spiritual journey. You can simply see it. And I'm praying that God will do that for you spiritually as well. And for all of us, and myself included. You can see and not, you can see but not see. You can hear and not understand. You can have the love of a woman in your life and not appreciate it as you should. These days, you don't get to be together forever. You eventually die. You don't get to be with your children as little ones forever. You start to count the privilege instead of the work side. How many of you ever count the work side? It's hardness of heart. You're just not seeing. It's not because you don't want to love God or love people. It's that you built the self-imposed prison that gives you a life sentence of sorrow when you live inside of the walls of a calloused heart. And all we have to do is ask God to open our heart and be willing and humble enough to say, Lord, I've hardened my heart. I've permitted a lot of things can harden your heart. You can have a broken heart. You can have gone through such horrific experiences that it devastated your heart. But a broken heart and a hardened heart, they respond similarly. But God wants, Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. That word heal means to take in his hands and to take shattered pieces and melt them back together. Isn't it awesome? That's what he wants to do with your heart. Now he'll do that for a hardened one too. Anything we give him, he can touch. Anything we submit to him, he'll restore. And it just feels like, I tell you, I feel like I've been born again. I know that's not a biblical doctrine, but it sure do feel good. I'm telling you, it does. Quickly, two more scriptures. 1 Timothy 1, verse 4 through 5. Verse 5, actually, I believe. Paul writing to the pastor, Timothy, he said, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart. What would a pure heart be? One not hardened or broken. Which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And then in 1 Peter 1 and 22, Peter wrote this by the Spirit of God. He said, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. And we're going to be talking about some of these things that as we move forward. But I've learned this much. If people are hungry for God, he'll meet them. If you ask, he'll give you. You can hear words forever. But do you really want to see him? Do you really want to know that the days on this earth, it makes questions like tithing just so silly. Like, well, what do you think about tithing? What's money? Number your days, man. What's wrong with you? What are you thinking? Look, I'm not blaming. You understand? I'm talking to myself. What is serving? What else am I going to do? I'll be with him in a few short years and then forever. And living with the consequences forever. I mean, think about it. It's just, I mean, listen, if you've ever invested money, this is a good deal.
That's right.
This is nothing but an investment. 43 years to live eternity in the riches of his glory, reigning and ruling with Christ. I don't know about you, man. If you're just half smart, you'll make that investment, right? But you know what? I look and I think, I wasn't half smart, I was half wit. I mean, you think, dear God. So are you over-dramatizing your hardness? Probably. But anything in light of who he is seems dark. Anything in light of his love and his mercy and his grace and his kindness seems so, so, so dark. And it's when you're willing to submit yourself to him, humble yourself before him, and candidly not give a flip what anyone else thinks about it. You don't lose the fear of men until you gain the fear of God. You really don't. You don't lose the fear of men until you understand that you won't give an account to a human being. Give an account to God. And when you try to lead through somehow overcoming those things with flesh, it's abrasive. And that's why I've longed, and always one of my heroes of the faith has been John Osteen. And now as I look at his life, and many of you don't know who he is that he's with the Lord now. His son Joel Osteen is doing so well. The reason as I look now, I know he's one of my heroes in the faith, is that he had that heart to the day he died. That kindness, that preciousness. And he kept his heart diligently. For out of it, Proverbs says, come the issues of life. So, Vicki, if you'll come on back up. I'm going to ask you to remain seated. And I want you to do something real simple. Look, I did it in a room with thousands of people at a man's funeral. You can do it in church, seated. Would you make an altar around you, right where you're at? Forget about who you're sitting by, your husband, your wife, whoever. Now, if you have a little infant, don't forget that. Okay? And I won't let you anyway. But would you please, right where you're seated, I'm going to ask us to do so. I'll go by section. And I just want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands on you because that's what the Spirit of God told me to do. And I want to impart through the laying on of hands. I'll stay with you as little or as long as I feel led to. But just to impart through the laying on of hands. And these words keep coming up in my spirit to say two simple words over you. Be enlightened. And that's all I'm going to do. So I don't need to come up for that. That's between you and God. But he threw me out in the field and told me to do this. 40-some years, I'll tell him about it. So tonight, I just want to do what he told me. What people think, again, who cares? Because we'll be with him soon. So I'll start over in this section. And and we'll probably need some of those young, strong, manly men to help our ushers. And grab some of those strong backs. There we go. Well, there's one. But we'll start over here in this section. And if you just go row by row, just the ushers will line you up. After I pray for you, you can just go back and be seated. But I just sense to do this in my spirit, and we're going to obey God. And every person, I'd encourage you, if this is something that you desire in your heart, then come and be prayed for, would you? But would you do this? I'll call your section when you're ready. Would you just go ahead and close your eyes where you're seated? Make an altar now between you and God. And would you ask him, not for my revelation, you understand, but that he'd show you, he'd enlighten your heart, that he'd teach you to number your days, and that he'd enlighten you to these truths. It'll change everything. It'll help you to see him as he is. As he is, so are we in this world. If we'll just start over here with the section to my left. Vicki, if you'll just lead us in worship. No one else sing. Just listen to Vicki sing. Worship God where you're at. Ask him. Ask him tonight to show you. Would you please? Would you ask him to show you the areas in your life that through hardness of heart you may have built up those little walls before God where you've not let him in. You've not let people in even. He wants to change it for you. He really does because he loves you. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I honor you from my heart tonight. You are our audience of one that we please. We honor you tonight. We honor you tonight. Oh, the privilege of knowing you, serving you. The privilege of a marriage. The privilege of parenting. The privilege of serving. The privilege of giving. The privilege and the honor to serve with you, Lord. You are so faithful and so good. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We honor you. As I lay my hands upon you, I'm just simply going to say the words, be enlightened, because that's what the Spirit of God told me to do. And I believe it shall come to pass, even as it has for me, for you. Father, I lay my hands upon these in obedience to your Spirit. And I ask you now, in Jesus' name.